I would like to just give you a little Bible study tonight about faith. You may not have money, you may not have education, you may not have a lot of things that the present society puts a great emphasis on, but I suspect every one of you here tonight have something that's more valuable than anything else you could ever have in this life, and that is your faith. Do you realize the possibilities of your faith? You see, it is one of the things that we go through life and underestimate what the gift of faith is. And the Bible tells us we are saved by grace through faith. And that faith is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And we all, if we're at all students of the Bible, we know that in the New Testament, once in the Old, but three times in the New Testament, we're told the just live by faith. I'm not going to take time to explain why it's mentioned, especially in Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. But it isn't just a happenstance that you find it in these three books of the Bible. But God says the just shall live by faith. And Hebrews 11:6 makes it a little stronger than that. It says, without faith, it is impossible. Now, you know what the word impossible means, don't you? That is, this is the only way, the absolute only way that you can please God is to have faith in Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. He is, He was yesterday, He will be forever, but He is right now for you. Right now for you. And He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He knows when you mean business. Some of us are like, I was talking with someone about telling them how the blackbirds used to fly over my home around there in Missouri when I was a kid, and even after I got up to be a teenager. The blackbirds would fly in a great, just be like a great revolving, almost black snake in the skies. Hundreds of thousands of them. And I used to be out hunting, and I'd have a .22, and I could knock a squirrel's eye out of the topmost tree with a .22. But I'd just at random shoot. I'd think, surely I can hit a bird someday. I've shot up through them many a time, never did hit a bird. I think that's the way some people are with their faith. They think it's a random thing and so-and-so, but you have to take aim. And God knows when you're diligently seeking Him. And Hebrews 11:21 says, faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me give you just a little simple illustration that I often use on this phrase. Let's say that you want a certain object that you know is handled in one of the department stores downtown, and you've seen it and you want it, and you decide you're going to get it, and you have the money, that is the price to get it. Now, when you come to the decision that you want that object, you're as good as have it, because faith is the substance of the thing that you hope for, just like money is the substance of the thing you hope for. Now, God willing, as we take that trip in the morning, while old grandpa, he takes over, and dad and great grandpa, if we eat, why, he always pays. If we stay, he always pays. Well, I don't think Ida Fern is worrying about who's going to buy her food or her gas or anything. We're going in her car. You see, she has her dad. And that's the substance of the thing that she's going to need out there. And so the Bible teaches us all that relates to our spiritual life. We have to live it by faith. That is faith. It comes how? By hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Now, when you know the Word of God, when you read the Word of God, you're not reading a maybe so. The Bible says, in him is not yea and nay. That could be translated, in him is not maybe, but amen. Sure enough. When he says something, you can bank on it. Do you know, and has it ever gripped your life to realize that when you disbelieve him, you're as good as saying he's not telling the truth? Lo, I'm with you always. Do you ever act like or talk like he's deserted you? You know what you're doing? You're really calling him a liar. You're saying that isn't true. I can't trust you. I just can't really trust you. I know you said it, but I don't believe it. That's what you ought to do. Just simply say, I don't believe it, because that's what it really adds up to. You see, but life, everything in life, relative to its beginning to its safety, its victory, its progressive and maturity, is a faith. You see, we go from faith to faith, from victory to victory. And as you are tested, now I hope by the grace of God, I can give you a little inkling tonight that you're in possession of something that you can do all things. That don't mean now you're going to go out here tomorrow and ask God for a Cadillac and he's going to give it to you. You see, faith don't come by you imagining something and trying to go out and take over. Some years ago, several of the young fellows had gone up on the wind, and some of you will be here and kind of remember this, that they went up on the wind fishing, and the weather turned very, very foul. They flew up there, and yet they didn't have Ty along, for an example, with his rating with running and flying in clouds and so on. And Ty flies a plane, and let's say he takes off from Denver in the morning and the clouds are like they've been today. Why, he don't think anything about it. He just takes off. That radar, he knows how to handle it. And he goes by faith in whatever that thing is that he sees on the dashboard. He follows it. He believes it. I told you a story of a young man. Well, he had a flying school after World War II. I heard him speak at a convention, and he had a Christian flying school, and he flew several trips over Germany on raids and so on. And he said one night he flew out in a storm, and he said this was such a lesson, and it was a great lesson for me. I felt such a uplift. It increased my faith. It encouraged my faith. He said he flew out, and he said he got the feeling one of his wings was low. He said he adjusted it, and he said he flew a little more. He felt like that wing was low. He said he adjusted it again, and he did that tie three or four times. You may have heard me tell it in the past, and he did it three or four times. Ty will understand this more than maybe you or I would. And he said he's flying along, just thinking he was doing fine, and he began to feel a real pull on his shoulders with his harness or his seat belts or whatever. And he said, suddenly I realized, and I went to my instrument board, and I found out I was flying upside down. He said, I quickly adjusted, and he said, that was a lesson that I needed to learn. I never trusted my feelings anymore. I trusted the instrument board. Now, that's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and you need it all the way. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and it's this simple. You listen to the Word of God. You read the Word of God. What does it say? My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I had a struggle settling with that for a while, but do you realize for over 70 years I have put that to test? And he has settled, he has met, and sometimes, always what I needed, but sometimes exceeding abundantly above all that I asked or thought of him. But in over 70 years, he's never failed me. I came to this city by faith. I had a few experiences when I kind of accused him, even if I didn't say it out loud, of failing me, but he never did. I've had such wonderful, wonderful experiences. I can read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews and other places in the Bible and think, oh, what a wonder that must have been. But listen, precious hearts, I've had experiences that would add up to any of them. You see, a great victory of faith don't have to be the casting down of the fortifications of a great city. Just to live by faith, to have the victory by faith, to see him bring money in. And I am not beyond being tested. Don't get that idea. I'm not bragging about me. I'm bragging about him. He has yet to fail me one iota. Now, he wants to be that for you. You're not up here preaching, and you may never do it, but you will be a carrier of the gospel here. He just said, I testified to a few and so on. I invited them to come and so on. You doing that? Are you out there after them? Well, you say they won't listen to me. Well, God will bless you just as much as if they did listen. He who
regards the winds and the rains, he won't sow and he can't expect to reap. So it's simple. Listen to the Word of God. You see, sometimes these little kids, I notice a little Charlotte, she comes around her grandpa quite a bit, and you can see how she's beginning to take a hold of Jesus. She wants to sing about this and this. And so listen to God's Word as it sets forth the plan of God. Now, do you think that God loves you like you have to admit he must love you, and he wants you to do a certain thing, but he never gives you a plan? He don't tell you what he's doing. Jesus said, I will build my church. But he said, I'm not going to let you know, Lynn, how I built it, but I expect you to be a worker. Isn't that foolish? Sure it is. He has given us the plan. The Bible says we know. Why do we know? We know because he said so. Now, if you haven't come to that place with him, you need to go to the altar and seek him. You can absolutely know. And he sets forth his plan, and you can succeed, and you can believe him, and you'll succeed. You can be indifferent or refuse to hear and know his word, and if that be so, you'll live through your Christian life a failure. It adds up to that. You sweet boys sitting here, you don't have to get out here and do some big thing. Do you realize little Samuel, as soon as he was weaned, his mama took him up to the house of God, and he became a real person with God. And God talked to him, and Eli didn't even know it. And he thought he was just dreaming. You precious kids, you don't realize. But now, to know God and his word is to know he has made available all we will ever need to know of his plan and his purpose and to win his best. Philippians 4:19, we've often quoted it. You've read it. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you realize that Jesus created everything that was? Everything, you see? The little sweet kids, last Sunday morning I was down there, and Jeannie was telling, and maybe Paula, and they were telling them about how Jesus made everything. And I said, what did he make it from? Did you ever think of what he made everything out of? Why, he made it out of himself. He spoke and it was so. Now, do you suppose he's become impoverished? Or is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is he able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think of him? Decide it in your mind. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You say, why didn't he help Paul in that dungeon? Paul didn't need that. And you and I didn't. What if God would have never let him go into that prison? How much of the Word of God would we have missed? Where would I be? I know where I'd be. I don't know where you'd be. That's up to you. But I know I needed him to go to the penitentiary for me. And I thank God that God had a man he could trust. And so this means food for my body, peace for my soul, power for whatever the path he has ordained that I should walk in. You do know that you have that, don't you? How many times have we gone over Ephesians 2:10? Listen, there's a plan for your life tonight that you could never conceive of, but Jesus provided it just for you. It's not the path that I have. It's not the path you have. It's not the path you have. He has a special path for you. And in that path, you can become a joint heir with him. He's no respecter of persons. He wants you to have his best. Now, so are these things, how are they obtained? The simple definition is have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, if you can find a place that says, I can't heal you, I won't heal you, he wouldn't take that thorn out of Paul's flesh because he knew what would happen. And you do pray with the understanding that you only want his will about it, don't you? Now, he will grant your request, but sin leanness to your soul, and you don't want that, do you? You see, faith is simply looking to God, expecting him to keep his word. That is, believing he can and he will meet all of our need, reaching for his gifts and expecting what he promised. Simply because of grace. Grace gave us our Savior, didn't it? Amen. Did you deserve in any way? You're warned not of works, lest any man should boast. You think of every religion and even some that are Christians practice a religion of works. You got to be worthy. Well, you'll be worthy if you take the righteousness of Christ and will yield to it. That'll make you worthy. That you don't dare come to him by works of righteousness, which you can do, but it's according to his mercy that he saved you. Oh, that's grace. Well, I'll just go out and do as I please. That isn't grace. That's disgrace. For the grace of God, having appeared unto all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, that don't sound like do as I please, does it? So, we're saved by grace. We're kept by grace. Anything God has given us, it's by grace. And with Christ, how shall we not, he or God, not also freely give us all things? Now, the tragic fact is we have come to a time when we look to man and his successes, his achievements, his great scientific strides. And as I was thinking along this line, I thought of old Nebuchadnezzar. He walked out in the book of Daniel and he looked at his kingdom, and it says it like this, who looked on his Babylon, and he said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And God said, you fool, you're going to go out and eat grass with the animals for 7 years for making such a foolish statement. Precious hearts, let God by his grace make you what he wants to make you. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all. But he said, it wasn't me. He said, it was God in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Now, any of us can do that. Did you know that? Do you believe that? Do you accept that? Don't tell me you can't. You can. Because when you say you can't, you're depending on you. But when God told Moses, you do note how he laid down, obviously, and went to sleep, but he was at peace for 40 years in that wilderness, taught him that without God he could do nothing. And when he said, get up and part the sea, did he do it? Well, I wonder how he did it. He who poured the sea out with one word parted it. Any problem to him? You see, that's something we need to come to. I can do all things. How? You read it? Now do it. You see, whatever he wants, don't try to go out here and do something. It's like C.C. Ford years ago. Brother Hill, you ought to be speaking to so-and-so, so-and-so. Great big deal if you don't. I had a man criticize me terribly. He said, Brother Hill, I won't say who he was. He said, Brother Hill, you can get a half an hour on ABC at this time. Well, God never told me to get a half hour on ABC. Now, he knew I could do it and criticized me because I didn't take the challenge. Well, Brother Hill, I told him and he didn't have enough faith to move into it. Can you see me stepping into that Jordan flooding like it was, inundating the countryside? Can you feature me? Are you walking in there without the promise of God? But with the promise of God, you can. But make sure you have the promise of God, for faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So, precious heart, you remember how Jesus, he was at Nazareth, and the Bible said he could do mighty works there because of their unbelief. Could he do things? Could he heal everybody there just like he healed them at another place? Had he lost his touch to heal them? You see, he can do for you what he ever did for anybody else. Don't you understand that? But you must believe him. And there's only one way to believe him. Believe his word. And the church tonight is backing away from him being the center. Listen, precious hearts, I'm determined there will be one thing promoted in this place, and that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just well forget your entertainment. We lost our dear precious young men that used to sing here, because one day they came to me and they wanted to bring in drums and whatever and whatever. I told them no. They soon left me. Israel didn't enter Canaan because of their unbelief. And God was not pleased with that generation because they wouldn't have his land. Think of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I'm a poor carrier of the good news, but I've done my best to get you to know what you've been called to. And so if you're not taking hold of that, you're not pleasing your Father. He wants you to have those unsearchable riches. And you know, if you know how you can have the unsearchable riches of Christ? Win Christ. You understand that? Here's a poor waif of a girl out there. She's beautiful. She has charm. She has a lot of things. And the millionaire that she wishes she had his millions, he falls in love with her. And how does she get his millions? She marries him. You see what this adds up to? You see, you'll own it all if you just win Christ. And you can. Why? Because he promised you could. And that gives you faith that you can, because God will enable you. You won't face a thing that he won't be there to enable you to do it. Think of the unsearchable riches of Christ that God has given to the church. But you see, the teaching and the ministry of today is forget sound doctrine. How are you going to have faith for the bride of Christ when you never did hear about it? How are you going to have faith to be healed if you never did hear about it? How are you going to have faith to live by faith in the Son of God if you never heard that that's the way you should live? So, precious heart, you may be able to say many good and noble things about a Christian. Well, I'm not going to say what I almost said. But can they be said to be a person of faith? The only thing good you can say about a man or a woman when you put them in the casket is, did they trust God? I don't care if they turned around and gave $50 billion to build hospitals and schools and clothe poor kids. Without faith, they didn't give it a red cent. Not a cent. Think, and I'm going to cut this off. Think of what faith in God does. I could think of so many things, but I only wrote down a few. First, faith sings. When? In any situation. Look at Paul and Silas with their backs ripped open with that Roman scourge, and feet and hands fastened in the locks. And at midnight, the time of the darkest moment, Paul and Silas sang. Think of it. Wonder what they got to thinking about. They certainly wasn't thinking how God has forsaken me. Look what he's let happen to me. I thought I was going to come in here where he told me to come, and there was going to be a brass band out, and I was going to be in the newspapers, and I was going to be advertising in the city. The mayor is out, and everybody are out to greet me. And here I come in, they beat me till I can hardly walk. That'd give you time to think of how deserting God was, wouldn't it? But by that time, they were shouting. And so, Paul and Silas in the 16th chapter book of Acts, you can read it, beaten, jailed, midnight song. Then later in the prison at Rome, Paul wrote the book of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Did you ever read that? Roy, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Oh, precious hearts. H.G. Spafford, I've often told you how he was sitting in his office and he'd sent his family ahead of him to visit England, and he was coming a little later, and they bring him the news. The ship was swamped in the North Atlantic in a storm, and his entire family was gone. And he wrote, "There's no one so precious as Jesus to me. Let earth with its treasures be gone. I'm rich in my Savior, as rich as can be, and happy with Jesus alone." Now, there's only one way I could do that. God would have to enable me. I'm just like you, and you're just like me. Maybe not as ornery as I am, but you're just like me. So, it sings. You think of George Matheson, who wrote, "O love that will not let me go." Engaged to a beautiful young woman, was going to marry her, and he had trouble, and he went to a specialist, and he said, "George, you're going blind." And he wrote his fiancée, told her of the condition, and she said, "Well, George, I could never be married to a blind man, so we'll just cancel." Fanny J. Crosby, among her many songs, one that I think is my favorite, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my song. This is my song." I don't know what I'd be singing. And I don't. Please believe me. I will not boast of what I will do tomorrow. I don't know what I'll do tomorrow. I've learned that if I make a boast along that line, it's, does D.E. have the ability? Does he have the stay with? Does he have the grit? Does he have that determination? No. By God's grace, my children come over. "Dad, we'll see you," as they walk out. I always say, "The Lord willing. The Lord willing." I don't know whether you'll see me after tonight or not, but the Lord willing, I will. Yes, faith enables us to sing whatever the circumstances. Why? Because we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. So faith looks at God, not at the giants, not the dead womb of Sarah and the aged man Abraham, but at God, at God. David goes out against that giant with a sling, and the giant tells him what he's going to do to him. And David said, "I'm going to cut your head off and feed you to the birds. That's what's going to happen." And who did he look at? Who was he trusting? Why, listen, when he put his confidence in God and went against that man at the word of God, I've often said he could have turned around and threw the opposite direction from that fella, and that stone would went clear around the earth, or turn like a boomerang and went back and hit him squarely up here. That's where his religion was, up here, like a lot of even Christians have got it. I think of the joyous Christians, joyless, groaning, moaning, complaining, such like, magnifying their awful deal instead of magnifying the grace of God. Now, faith serves. That is the faith, true faith. If you go to the book of 11th chapter, book of Hebrews, you'll especially see this, but it's all through the Bible. Faith always results in action. Let me show you. Note, by faith, Abel offered a more, what? Yeah. Enoch walked with God. You see, Noah built an ark. Abraham offered his son. Sarah received strength. Faith don't ask for an easy way, and you know why? Is anything hard for the Lord? I'm not going to do it. I don't need it easy. It don't matter. Abraham said now, and we ought to listen to that. Why does Sarah laugh? I'm the one that's going to do it, and is anything hard for me to do? Who gives you your food? Who enables you to breathe? I'm learning a lot of things like that in these last years. They say when you're old, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I'm learning some of the best tricks of my life right now. Don't you know that? Sure. I'm learning that He is my refuge. He's my strength. He's my prize. He's my. Get back in there and see what David had. But he don't have near what you and I have. Do you know that? So faith supplies. That is, it is the substance of hope. Things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith stands. Ours is a day of hurry, scurry. Don't you know that? You know why most of God's precious people are failing? They have no time for God. I don't have time to pray. Well, I don't have time to read the Bible. I'm so pushed that I go breathless to bed every night. Well, you're never going to accomplish anything. Have time. Give God time. Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord mount up with wings as eagles. They run and they're not weary. They walk and they won't faint. You understand? Be still. And know I'm God. Think about it. You can't afford not to pray. I'll tell you what I like, and especially in these later days. My knees kind of hurt, and I have no excuse, however. But I get on my knees and maybe don't say a word for well over an hour. I'm learning to wait on Him. He's going to do something with this old wreck, or He won't keep me here. See, He's keeping me. And so faith supplies. Faith stands. Faith saves. What? From Egypt to Canaan. From the dunghill to the throne. Don't stop your salvation with shouting, I'm saved. That's wonderful to shout you're saved, but don't stop there. Go with God. Remember, He has never failed. He's concerned for you. He is no respecter of persons. He wants us to be optimists, not pessimists. And He wants us to launch out into the deep. Stand. Trust God for the service. I urge you to be faithful Sunday. Jesus is here. You don't want to come because Brother Hill is here. You want to come because Jesus is here. I appreciate that you love me and are with me. I appreciate that. Nothing wrong with you loving your pastor and being happy when he's here. There's nothing wrong with that. But when I'm not here, Jesus is here. You believe that? Sure you believe that. Trust him to have his way in your heart and in your life. And he'll do you good. Oh, yes, he'll do you good. Do you believe he wants to do you good? Okay.